It's time for the Farm Show with Dustin Hoffman.
Welcome to the Weekend Farm Show here on KLGR. Farm Director Dustin Hoffman here, and we're going to be talking to Karen Schaefer from the Minnesota Beef Council, Ashley Coles from the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association, and of course also we can't talk cows without talking to Mark Malachek from the Beef News and Notes program. They're all down at the NCBA conventions in Phoenix as we get started here on Saturday morning. Let's kick things off. Right now we have Karen Schaefer on from the Minnesota Beef Council. How you doing today?
Doing great. How are you doing, Dustin?
Doing well. I hope you're enjoying the lovely weather in Phoenix, and I hope you're bringing it back with you when you come back home.
We hope so. It's been about 80 degrees here and sunny, and of course, we're trapped in a big convention center where it's freezing cold and there's no sunlight, but we try to get out at every break we have a chance to.
Now, when we talk about the meetings that are going on now, you know, you deal with the Beef Council, you deal with the checkoff side of things, you know, and where the cattlemen deal with the policy side. But, you know, obviously something for everybody. Everybody's together to get these meetings, accomplished and talk about different things. As far as on the checkoff side of things, Karen, what's going on and what kind of things are you learning here at the conference?
So there is, you know, several days of meetings. We're in various committee groups trying to break out into segments. I happen to sit on the Health and Nutrition Committee, so throughout the course of the convention, we're hearing from different speakers about consumer preferences and market research indicators that will probably change the way that we're promoting and marketing beef. We also hear from the U.S. Meat Export Federation and really have some interesting discussions as it relates to the checkoff work. We will be breaking up into committees various times throughout the course of the convention, talking about, you know, how are we marketing beef and what has been working? What are some tactics that we could maybe improve upon? And really, where do we see this industry moving in the next decade? So some of the work that we're looking at today is, some of the health and nutrition research projects that are underway and what consumers are thinking about beef in terms of health. Beef is very wonderful source of protein and nutrients, and that seems to be a huge trend amongst consumers. So really capitalizing on that and making sure that beef is the first thing that consumers are thinking about when they're thinking about a high-quality protein.
And now when you guys are talking about beef promotion, I mean, we've had you on the show a couple times, and we've discussed about the changes that have had to be done to adapt with where the consumers are and the information they want and how they want their information delivered. Now, we've seen that on a national level, and we've seen you guys at the state level do that. Now, are you guys being able to share some success stories with those kind of changes with other organizations around the country to say, hey, this is working for us, and also maybe take back, hey, this is working for them. We can maybe implement this at our end as well?
That's exactly what happens on a national level and in our states, kind of comparing notes with what we're doing. One example of that is they launched the Beef is What's for Dinner brand new website and their Rethink the Ranch campaign. And their goal with that was to really put producer faces to beef. We had kind of taken that away for a couple years, and we learned that that's what consumers want. They want to know who's raising beef and what, you know, they do to make sure that that beef gets on the plate in a safe and sustainable manner. So one example that they had shared with us is in the first quarter after they had launched the new Beef is What's for Dinner campaign, they had set a goal of reaching 20 million consumers in 3 months, and they exceeded that goal. So through paid advertising and a significant amount of earned media that was garnered from that campaign, they reached quite a few millennial consumers in kind of more metropolitan areas, and they're really setting these kind of aggressive targets to reach millennials where they're looking for food and recipe options and making sure that your beef is front and center as they're on that hunt.
You know, and we talk about millennials, and now we just see a study now that came out earlier this week that Gen Z is now coming up into the marketplace, and that's almost a whole nother beast when it comes to marketing. Is there anything being tossed around on what to do with them, or are we kind of just focusing on the millennials right now?
No, we're definitely looking at that next generation, too, and there's some tendencies that seem to be similar with the millennial generation and some that are a bit different. One of the topics that was talked about quite heavily is just how people are buying food. Whether that's through a traditional grocery store or whether that's through meal delivery kits are they buying groceries online and they get shipped in a big box and show up at their doorstep? Those are all different trends that we would not have really been talking about a decade ago. So figuring out how we make sure that beef can play well in that type of an environment, and that seems to be really kind of shaping the retail landscape. And also the fast food industry is changing, food service in general. You know, there's not necessarily this push toward traditional fast food, and there's also not a huge push for fine dining. There's somewhere in between. That seems to be what millennials and Gen Z really gravitate toward, is a fast, casual eating environment, and they like choices and they like flexibility of, you know, a better price point, but also just fast and convenient food service options.
All right, that's Karen Schaefer with the Minnesota Beef Council. Karen, thank you for taking the time to visit with us from the convention down there in Phoenix.
Thank you.
Staying with the Beef Council, now we have, of course, a chairman of the Beef Council, Mark Malachek, and of course we know him from the Beef News and Notes program. But Mark, thanks for stopping by to talk with us as well.
Well, thanks for having us on.
So not only are you the chair of the Beef Council, you also sit on the National Beef Export and Growth Committee, and some good news coming out of there, I'm assuming, at the NCBA meetings?
There really is, and there's members that are on this Export Growth Committee that I sit on from throughout the whole United States, different regions of the country. And I guess what I'd just like to emphasize is the positive tone that I've experienced here at the convention in Phoenix. And we can be excited about the U.S. beef exports this year came to $7.23 billion, and that equates to about $283 per head more that our producers in our country receive over what it would be if we didn't have any export. So it's really a positive thing.
And so definitely seeing that uptick in export numbers, you know, we've seen the beef getting into China again, and exports to Asia are climbing. And, you know, that's a good thing for producers to see coming out from last year's figures as well.
It really is. And right now we have Japan as number one importer of our beef, Korea's two, Mexico three, and Canada comes in and fourth. And there's kind of a new little niche here in this export business, and it's chilled beef. It's where this beef is sent over on container units on ships, and it doesn't take as long as you think, and they keep these container units refrigerated on that 33, 34 degree level. And what's neat about it is the eating experience for those people. It's chilled beef. It isn't frozen. So there is also another advantage. Those countries have to buy from us on a weekly basis rather than buying, you know, a year or a year and a half out, a whole stockpile of it. And then, you know, if you got something in your freezer for a long time, it doesn't have quite the eating experience that it does when it's fresh. So it's really worked out well.
And so, Mark, I know being on the Beef Council, you stay on the checkoff side and away from the policy side, but when you look at those countries on that top four list, you're talking, you know, Japan, Korea, Canada, and Mexico, I'm sure you guys watching anxiously, just like every other cattle producer, negotiations with trade agreements, especially NAFTA, and what are we going to do with, one-on-one trade agreements with some of these Asian countries.
Right. And at this point, I had an opportunity to see Craig Yudin, the president or outgoing president of the NCBA, and he has a positive feel about it. There's some really smart people involved in this trade issue, and they know how important it is. And, you know, just talking, our ag secretary is very much cognizant of it. So I think it'll work out.
All right. Well, Mark, I thank you very much for taking the time to visit with us.
Well, thank you, Dustin, for KLJR for this coverage. Appreciate it.
All right, and that's Mark Malachek. He is, of course, host of the Beef News and Notes program. As we wrap up part one of the Weekend Farm Show, we'll be back talking with Ashley Coles, the executive director of the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association, and get her take of what's going on at the NCBA convention in Phoenix. But first, we'll hear from our sponsor, Farm Word Cooperative, advancing farming for generations.